the unseen and unexpected ways that people suddenly leave this world are too numerous to imagine. The unconverted walk over the pit of hell on a rotten bridge. And there are countless places on that bridge that are too weak to bear their weight. These places go unseen. The arrows of death fly unnoticed at high noon. The sharpest eyes cannot spot them. God has so many unfathomable ways of taking wicked people out of this world and sending them to hell that he does not need miracles or unnatural causes to do so. His ordinary providence alone is able to destroy the wicked at any moment. All the means by which sinners leave this world are under his control. Those means are so subject to his power in choosing that it depends no less on his will if God uses them than if he does not. Natural men's diligence and care to preserve their own lives, or the efforts of others to preserve them, do not give them security for one moment. Divine providence and universal experience prove that. There is clear evidence that men's own wisdom is no security for them from death. If it were, we should see some difference between the educated and shrewd people and plain people in regard to their being subject to early, unexpected death. But how is it really? How does a wise man die? As the fool. All the schemes and efforts of the wicked to escape hell while they continue to reject Christ and remain wicked do not secure them from hell one moment. Almost every natural man that hears about hell deceives himself that he will escape it. He rests in his own false security, flattering himself with the good things he has done, is now doing, or intends to do. Every man plots how he will escape damnation and flatters himself, thinking that his plans are ingenious and that his schemes will not fail. He clearly hears that only a few will be saved, and that the greater part of humanity who have died before him have gone to hell. But each one imagines that his plans to escape are better than theirs. He has no intention of going to that place of torment. He tells himself that he will carry out his plans with such care that they cannot fail. These foolish people miserably trick only themselves with their own schemes. By putting confidence in their own wisdom and strength, they are only trusting a shadow. Most of those who until now have lived under the same means of grace are now dead and in hell. This is not because they were not as wise or did not plan for their escape as well as those who are alive today. If we could ask them one by one whether, when they were alive and heard of hell, they ever expected to suffer its misery, they would doubtless say, "No, I never intended to come here. I had other plans. I thought I could manage well and my scheme was sound. I intended to carry out all of my plans. But death took me by surprise. I wasn't looking for it at that time or in that way. It came like a thief in the night. Death outsmarted me. God's wrath was too quick for me. Oh, my cursed foolishness! All this time I was flattering myself with empty dreams of what I would do later, and just when I was saying to myself, 'Peace and safety,' destruction overcame me." God is not bound by any promises to keep any natural man out of hell for one moment. He has certainly made no promises of eternal life or of any deliverance from eternal death except those given in the covenant of grace. The promises to us in Christ, in whom all the promises are yes and amen. But surely those who are not children of the covenant, who disbelieve all of the promises and disregard the mediator of the covenant, they have no share in the promises of this covenant of grace. Therefore, regardless of what people have imagined and pretended about promises made to natural men's earnest seeking and knocking, it is clear that whatever pains one takes in religion, whatever prayers he makes, unless he believes in Christ, God is under no obligation to keep him from eternal destruction for one moment. So it is that natural men are held in the hand of God over the pit of hell. They deserve the fiery pit and are already sentenced to it. God is dreadfully provoked, and his anger is as great toward them as it is toward those suffering his fierce wrath even now. They have done nothing to appease or lessen God's anger, nor is he under any obligation or promise to hold them up for one moment. The devil is waiting for them. Hell's mouth is open for them. The flames gather and flash around them, longing to take them and swallow them up. The fire trapped inside their own hearts is struggling to break out, and they have no hope of a mediator. Nothing within their reach can give them any security. In short, they have no refuge and nothing to grab hold of. The only thing that preserves them every moment is the mere arbitrary will and the uncovenanted, unobliged patience of an incensed God. The purpose of this terrifying subject is to wake up the unconverted people in this congregation. What you have heard is true of every one of you who do not believe and trust in Christ. That world of misery, that lake of burning brimstone, is spread right beneath you. There is the dreadful pit of the glowing flames of God's wrath. There is hell's wide-open mouth. And you have nothing to stand on or to grab onto, nothing between you and hell but the air. Only the power and mere pleasure of God holds you up. You are probably unaware of this. You notice that you are being kept out of hell, but you do not see that it is God's hand keeping you out. Instead, you look at other things, such as your good health, the way you take care of yourself, and the things you do to preserve your life. But in fact, these things are nothing. If God withdrew his hand, these things would no more keep you from falling than thin air holds up a person suspended in it. Your own wickedness weighs you down like lead, and is dragging you down toward hell with great weight and force. Again, if God would let you go, you would immediately sink, quickly descending and plunging into the bottomless gulf. All of your health and personal care, all of your best schemes, and all of your own righteousness would no better support you and keep you out of hell than a spider's web would stop a falling rock. If not for the sovereign pleasure of God, even the earth would not put up with you another moment, because you are nothing but a burden to it. The creation is groaning because of you. The creatures of the earth are unwillingly subject to your corruption. The sun does not want to shine on you and give you its light so that you can serve sin and Satan. The earth does not want to produce food so that you can satisfy your lusts, nor does it want to be a stage on which you act out all of your wickedness. The air does not want to fill your lungs with life while you spend that life serving God's enemies. God's creation is good and was created for man's use in serving God, not for any other purpose. You, though, cause it to groan when you abuse it by making it serve purposes for which it was not designed. The world would spit you out if it were not for the sovereign hand of God who, though having cursed it, gives it hope. The black clouds of God's wrath are hanging directly over your head. They are full of a dreadful storm with its loud thunder, and if it were not for the restraining hand of God, it would immediately burst upon you. For now, the sovereign pleasure of God holds back the rough winds, otherwise they would come with fury, and your destruction would come as a tornado, and you would be blown away like dry chaff. The wrath of God is like great waters that are temporarily dammed up. They keep rising higher and higher until they find an outlet. The longer they have been dammed up, the more rapid and powerful will be their flow once they are let loose. It is true that judgment against your evil works has not been carried out yet, but in the meantime your guilt has been building up, and every day you are storing up for yourself more wrath. The waters are constantly rising and gathering might, and nothing but the mere pleasure of God holds them back, though they are unwilling to be stopped and are pushing with great force to break free. If God were just to lift his hand from the floodgate, it would immediately fly open, and the fiery floods of the fierceness and wrath of God would rush forward with unbelievable fury and would overtake you with unlimited power. Even if your strength were 10,000 times greater than what it is, in fact, if it were 10,000 times greater than the boldest and most powerful devil in all of hell, it would not be able to withstand or endure it. The bow of God's wrath is bent and straining. The arrow is already set on the string, and justice aims it directly at your heart. It is nothing but the mere pleasure of God, an angry God who is not restrained by any promise or obligation, that keeps that arrow from being drunk with your blood. This means that all of you whose hearts have never been changed by the power of the Holy Spirit, and who have never been born again and made new creatures, raised from being dead in sin to a new light and life, all of you are in the hands of an angry God.